Good evening from the Youth Theater Podcast. Welcome to another interview. I'm your host for the week, Theo Gardner. Our guest is Jonathan Murphy, who is a professional voice actor. Jonathan has performed in a wide variety of commercials, educational apps, video games, and even amusement parks. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Jonathan.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. So to start with, we're going to play one of Jonathan's demo reels so you can hear a sample of how many different voices he does.
Behold, microwave pizza.
You pathetic humans. Soon the entire world will be under my control.
Oh, hey, baby. How about I give you a few private lessons?
Many people have tested my limits in the past. I suggest you ask them how it turned out.
Your wishes will come true.
Listen, get those people to safety. I'm counting on you.
Cha yeah, bro. Those waves were hashtag tasty.
Tell me the location, boy, or you'll be taking a long walk off a short plank.
Oh, yes, yes, my master. It shall gratify me to do your bidding.
Yee-hoo! Town folk, listen up. You gotta believe me. I saw him with my own two eyes.
One car wash, please. My glasses are dirty.
Excuse me, what are you doing with that cat?
No need to thank me, madam. All in a day's work. Sorry about the explosion.
When did you know that you wanted to start performing for a living?
Well, performing, I started doing voice acting, like, classes when I was about in my mid-teens. I guess you can say I've always wanted to be a performer because of, how I used to act out scenarios in my own head when I was very little. But I started taking classes around that time. And then I didn't actually start doing stage work, which I believe is recommended for people who want to get into any field of acting. Doing theater is always a great start for anybody who wants to get into acting, because you get the experience of telling a story, embodying a character, you know, whether it's a musical or a straight play, and doing it live is something you just don't really get. It really teaches you to kind of inhabit that space and think on your feet. Right. And these are skills that have really helped me and many actors, I'm sure. I didn't start performing until I was in my late teens. I didn't really start performing seriously anyway. I did like a couple of shows for my old school music teacher, put on a couple of little plays, and, you know, I got a really positive response from that. And I tried to branch out, and PYT was like my first, I believe, truly real experience doing like actual theater. And I was about 17 or 18 at the time. So that was around the time when I knew that this was this is what I was fated to do.
It was your calling. That is actually a really nice segue into our second question. And you touched on it a little bit, but how did you really get into voice acting?
Well, you know, the best way I think that I got into it was, you know, I found a school. And I think that's kind of the best way to get into any kind of acting. Take classes. Like, take classes with instructors that are in the business. The school I went to was called Voice One out in San Francisco. And they had like a wide variety of different instructors, from not just voiceover, but from like on camera work. They have improv classes. They have casting directors, producers, writers, agents, talent directors. And so you really get a good broad sense of how the business works. And also the important thing is you meet people.
Right. Yeah.
You get a chance to kind of perform, yeah, in front of an instructor. Mm-hmm. And that was actually how I met my agent, as well as, like, you know, the person who made my demo through taking one of their classes. Mm. And that was how I knew, you know, was able to kind of network with people. That's a good way to network. So that was how, was taking classes at Voice One.
Okay. And was there any like specific classes or anything that they had that really resonated with you, or you feel like you're still using stuff from them today?
Oh, I think every class you kind of take something from them. When I started years ago, I, of course, went with the character classes, you know, how to embody a character, how to basically, you know, perform in a microphone. Because when you're performing in a microphone, it's a completely different feel. Like, it's a different world versus, like, performing on stage. A common misconception people have is, I'm performing on microphone, I don't have to do a lot of, like, work, which is not true. In fact, you have to kind of do even more work. You have to fully, like, use your body and embody the character. And sometimes you don't have anybody to kind of bounce off of. So learning those skills at the start was very important for me and stuff that I took away from. And then as I progressed in my career, I was starting to take classes for, like, how to dissect a script, whether it's an audition script or any kind of performing script. And also, you know, how to audition, what agents are looking for, what talent agencies are working for. So I've tried to kind of use everything that I've experienced in the classes with my actual career.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. So what was your first professional voice acting job?
My first job. You know, it's hard because when you're doing voice acting, you're auditioning more than you're actually working. I think that the one job that really kind of made an impact on me, and one that I had done consistently, was doing all the voices for the theme park California's Great America. And the reason why that was such a big deal was because when I joined as just a regular, like, street parade performer, they were beginning the shift from being owned by Paramount and Viacom to being owned by Cedar Point. So they couldn't use all the voiceover they had for, like, the Nickelodeon characters and stuff like that. So I proved myself to be a good worker, and I happened to mention to the supervisor of the entertainment division that I do voiceover. And he said, oh yeah, send me your demo. And then he asked me to audition for the tech department to apply next year for the tech department. And what it really was I'd be working as a techie, but I would also be doing all of the voiceovers. So I ended up doing, like, everything in the park, from regular announcements to when the show is coming on. And I think that was probably the first, like, real thing that I remember doing that at that time, that spanned for a good 5 or so years.
Wow. That's a big first job. Yeah. So what has your favorite voice acting job been, and why?
Every job has been great that I've been lucky enough to get. But the one that I remember the most, because it was kind of a nightmare, but it ended up being very fun to do, was I did a role in a video game that was done by 2K Games. And it was a small part, you know. They were going to do, I had to go there and do motion capture for the first time ever, which was an interesting experience, having to basically, you're wearing a wetsuit with ping pong balls all over it. And that was different, but it was kind of like, you know, doing stage work or camera work. That wasn't the problem. The problem was, it was a scheduling nightmare. Originally, how filming in that field works is that you come over and you do 2 days. 2 days for, like, one scene, usually, depending on how long the scene is. And you rehearse kind of the day before, like in the afternoon, and then you film it the morning of. So you, like, you rehearse it, you have, like, the night to kind of, you know, look over, prepare it, memorize your script and all that, and then you do it the next morning. And it was going to be like that, you know, it was a 2-day job. Well, then one of the actors or actresses had a scheduling issue, so they can only fit it into 1 day. All right, that's fine. And then they changed the script the night before. Then I also had to do an accent that I'd never done before. So I drive all the way up there the night before, and I stay the night, and I wake up in the morning. So the morning was, I was supposed to rehearse in the morning. They were going to do one other scene. And then at the very end of the day, they were going to do my scene. I ended up, you know, I was at the little motel that I put myself in. And then the next morning I got there, had breakfast. They're very nice. Did a rehearsal. And the scene that they had to do before mine took hours. I don't know what the problem was, but there was something going on that lasts for hours. And it's a new script. I couldn't really prepare for it. The lines are leaving my head. And I'm just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. The writer who was there was really nice. He said, you know, don't worry about being perfect on the lines. Just get this information out and you're good. And I'm like, okay. And then the director comes to me when finally an hour left in the day. We only had an hour to shoot my scene. The last hour of the day, they finally get to me. First time ever doing it, the director says, now remember, you are very, very panicked for your life. And I said, trust me, that's not going to be acting. And I, with my other actors, we had 1 hour left. We knocked it out in 20 minutes.
Wow.
So that was probably my favorite job that I've worked so far, because I'm a real noises off kind of guy. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong, you know, when things go wrong. But I find that when things go wrong, that's when you have the most fun, because like, what do? And you really gotta use your, you know, your skill as an actor to adjust.
That makes a lot of sense. If you don't mind my asking, which video game?
I think it was one of the Mafia games.
All right. What is the most difficult part of being a voice actor?
The long, long, long stretches of, there's a couple things. One is the long stretches of not having any work brought to you. If you think that auditioning for plays is hard and, you know, you have a big drought, there are times when, you know, I just check in with my agent, you know, just to say, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, it's been slow, huh? And my agent goes, oh, it's been so dead. You have no idea, Jonathan. It's been so dead. And I'm just like, oh, well, I'm sure it'll pick up. It's like it's peaks and valleys. You know, it ebbs and flows. But not knowing when you're going to get your next job, that's hard. And then another thing that's hard is auditioning can be tough, because unlike when you're auditioning to be on camera or when you're auditioning to be like in the theater, you have the director, the producer, the music director there. In voiceover, they just send you like the script, the sides via email, and you have to figure out, you know, I'm lucky, I have a little studio at my residence or a residence that I used to live in that I can get to. But you're doing all of it by yourself. You have to like direct yourself. You have to figure out what you're doing, and you have nobody to give you notes or bounce off of. Not only that, you have to make sure the recording sounds decent and you have to cut it together. It's a surprising amount of work to audition for voiceover. And in my opinion, I think that's probably the toughest part. Because once you get the job, you know, all you have to do is you just show up. You're in the studio for a few hours, or, you know, you're motion capturing and stuff. And that's when you get to play and have fun and stuff. But, you know, in order to get those jobs, because everybody wants your job and they have to listen to a lot of people. So you also have to figure out, you know, how can I stand out and be different, but also give them what they want. And it's tough. It's pretty tough.
I mean, it definitely sounds like it with every job. Ups and downs, sure. So you've performed on the stage and you've done film and voiceover. Which one of the three do you like to do the most?
I think they all have, you know, they all have strengths and weaknesses. I love doing the stage work. I absolutely love it, you know, getting that reaction and also just working off people. The last play I did was at one of the theaters in Redwood City, the Dragon Theater. We did the 1 hour Star Wars special where we did all three Star Wars films, original trilogy Star Wars films, in 1 hour. And, you know, I got to play a couple different characters. I was Darth Vader. I was Yoda. And that was so much fun to do. And you also, like, it's such a collaborative effort, that kind of show, because you get to work with all your cast members and stuff. And that's a lot of fun. But here's the thing about theater. It's very, very time consuming. Requires a lot of rehearsals. Depending on where you live and the rehearsals are being held, a lot of travel. And, you know, it's true what they say. You don't do it for the money. It's very, very true. Absolutely true. And I would never tell anybody, you know, I do theater for the money. That's not what it's about. However, with all that travel time and all that work and traveling mostly, I mean, I don't care what stipend they give me or don't give me. But like, if I'm traveling a lot, like if I'm traveling down to Los Gatos The stipend they get me, which I'm grateful for, doesn't even begin to cover the cost of gas or mileage. And that can be really hard. It's really hard. And it's why I kind of stopped doing it so much, because I needed to work a job. I needed to start paying bills and rent and stuff. I didn't have the time. I'm not in part of the Actors Equity Union. So it's not a feasible way for me to live. Unfortunately, film, it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of like theater, but it's a little bit more, you're acting to a camera, still that collaborative effort, and that's a lot of fun. Voiceover, what I love about voiceover is you're in, you're out, and you get paid for that. And, you know, you get to embody the character and really kind of, it really tests your skill as an actor and finding that character and building that character, and it's so much fun. Sometimes you perform with other actors, depending on the project. There was actually one thing I did where we were in a big like music studio and we got to perform with the whole cast together to do a little audio CD. And that was really fun. You know, it was like doing a stage reading almost. But usually you're kind of by yourself and it can be a little overwhelming, especially if you're kind of trapped in a little booth and stuff and got headphones in your ears and you have to get the timing right. So they all have their benefits, but, you know, their struggles too.
That makes sense. You know, everything's going to have its drawbacks. Everything's going to have its perks. Mm-hmm. So usually, hopefully, you'll have something that has more perks than downsides in your own eyes. So can you tell us about the differences in working on a video game versus working on an advertisement?
Video games and animation. And there are slight differences in how animation and video games work. But for the most part, you're being a character. You know, you're not really being yourself as much. You know, you have to kind of play the character that's been given to you, or characters. You can do several. I've done some things where I've played a couple characters and a couple of things. When it comes to advertisement, though, it's all about the product. You have to sell the product. So you're more of a, say, you're still kind of acting, but you're not acting, really. You're not really acting. One is acting. The other is selling something.
It's talking about something with a fancy voice.
Well, yeah, or a lot of time nowadays, it's not even fancy anymore. Nowadays, what they want, what advertisement wants is relatability. They want realism.
Right.
So it's like, it's a completely different thought process, because how do you go from working on a character and being larger than life or whatnot or somebody else to being real, genuine, selling it? It's just a completely different mindset.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what is it like to go in and audition for a voice acting job?
Well, the techniques you kind of use to looking at the script and, you know, figuring out your character and dissecting the script and figuring out what the story is, telling the story, is actually very similar. It's all the same thing. You know, your job as the actor is to embody the character and to tell the story. And when you're auditioning, most time you're given the script and you have to figure out, what is the story? Who is this character, and what is his or her role in the story? And, you know, what is the story? What is the beginning, the middle, and the end? And I think that goes for anything you audition for, whether it's doing a script for theater, or doing a film, or doing a voiceover. The only difference is the technical side of things. So with theater, you're usually there. You drive or go to the location that the audition takes place. You wait in line, you wait in the back room or whatever. You wait for your turn. You do your monologue and you do your song or whatever you're going for. And then sometime, you know, you'll stay and maybe read some sides. Film, you don't necessarily need to do a monologue or a thing. You kind of just go to the casting studio and the director will kind of, you know, you'll get the script and have a partner, or you'll act in front of the director and the director might give you notes, or you have to film yourself. Same thing with voiceover. Usually with voiceover, you're by yourself, you record in your closet or what have you with your own device, you cut it together yourself, and then you send it. You don't need to do a monologue because that's your demo. But when I did the 2K audition, that was actually more like auditioning for a movie because there's a lot of on-camera stuff that you send. And so it's kind of a mishmash between them, you know, because you're mocapping now, because it's more about like the physical performance as well as the voice. It's kind of a combination of both. So you get kind of that, the two similar experiences.
Do you have like a voiceover hero or an idol? Someone you think is the best at voice acting, the greatest of all time?
There are so many like great voice actors, men and women out there who I adore and idolize. How voice acting works is like you don't really know who the actor is. You know, back in the 80s and 90s and stuff, they wouldn't even tell you who voiced what character. And when the credits would roll by, when you'd watch like a Disney cartoon and the credits would roll by very quickly, they would have like a little page and just says vocal cast, and they wouldn't even list the order of appearance or importance. They would just list them all, the names of the actors and actresses alphabetically. So you wouldn't even know like, oh, this person played this character, this person played that character, unless it was a movie. But even then, like that didn't start coming until big celebrities and stuff started voicing. I think when celebrities started getting involved in doing a lot of voiceover, that was when it kind of changed. But if I have to pick somebody who voiced like everybody from my childhood, it would probably be Jim Cummings. He's done a lot of Disney afternoon shows, Disney shows and stuff like that. And he would be one that I think on that was like the first time I recognized who, you know, him and like Frank Welker and Bob Bergen. But I think Jim Cummings is the one who, because he did all those Disney afternoon cartoons that I used to watch when I was really, really young. And he did all my favorite characters like Darkwing Duck and Don Carnage, and played a lot of bad guys, and I was always a big fan of the bad guys, so I think he would probably be the one that I know a lot about.
Very interesting. It's weird to see the person behind this voice that you've, yeah, you know, you've grown up watching, and then you realize, wait a minute, they did this voice too?
Yeah, I will give you, and you know, to bring it to Jim Cummings, I will give you a big surprise. So, and same with voiceover acting, too. Just to drop a few names, like, you know, you got Tony Jay, Simon Templeman, and Michael Bell and stuff. But with Jim, here's the thing. So you've seen The Lion King, correct?
Of course.
Yes. Who plays Scar? Do you know the actor who played the big famous actor who plays Scar?
I do not. Not off the top of my head.
Jeremy Irons.
Okay.
So Jeremy Irons, he's a big, you know, he was, still is kind of a big named. He's a big actor. And Jim Cummings was also in it. He was one of the hyenas. He got to play the hyena who didn't really speak. He just kind of, he just kind of laughed like a crazy. But yeah. He was alongside like Cheech Marin and Whoopi Goldberg. And they were the three hyenas. Jeremy Irons was Scar. And Scar has that really awesome song, Be Prepared.
Yeah.
Great, great song. And Jeremy Irons sings about 85 or 90% of the song. There is a point, I don't know why it happened, but Jim Cummings actually had to finish the song for him. There is actually a point in the song, if you watch the animated version, there's a point in the song where it goes from Jeremy Irons to Jim Cummings. And unless you knew that and you didn't know what Jim sounds like, if you weren't very good at like identifying different vocal cues and stuff, unless you knew it, you would never have thought that that was not Jeremy Irons, but Ed the hyena filling in for him. He sounded just like him, but I've heard Jim's work for my whole life. So I know what he sounds like. I can now like watch all those old cartoons and go, that's Jim. That's definitely Jim. And when I heard The Lion King, after I found that out, I'm like, oh my gosh, it is Jim doing a really good Jeremy Irons impression, but it's still Jim for me. It's just nuts. It was crazy.
Yeah, I've never noticed that, and I've watched that movie multiple times.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it used to be a very thankless job, well, at least for terms of the audience, you know. But that's not why you did. You didn't do it to get audience like recognition. You did it because you loved it.
That's kind of a nice sort of segue into this one. If you could do any voice acting role, what role would it be and why?
I want to be a character in the new DuckTales cartoon that's, I think, going to be its third season. They're doing like a weird Renaissance Disney afternoon thing, which is, like I said, the program block that I grew up with. And I would want to be a character in that. I love DuckTales. It was one of my favorite shows when I was a little kid. I've been watching the new one, and I think it's very, very good. It's definitely a remake, but it's very, very, very good. I would love to be on that.
Very interesting. I'll have to add that one to my watch list.
I would also, if I had to pick a job that's already been passed, though, I would like to have been on a show like Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good show.
It's a great, great, great show. And that's a show that I would have, I wish I could have been a part of.
Speaking of animations and animated shows and stuff, mm-hmm. Do you think that shows like The Simpsons have made voice acting more mainstream or famous?
The Simpsons carried a lot of clout. And, you know, I think the novelty of it's this entire massive community, all these characters, and it's four people doing, all of them. Dan Castellaneta, Hank Azaria, Nancy Cartwright. No, five people, because Lisa is only played by the one person, and then the woman who played Marge plays Marge and her sisters. Nancy Cartwright plays all the little boys, and some of the girl classmates, and Dan and Hank do all the men in the town. And then they had, I think it's also when celebrity, because again, that's when the voice actors started to change. That's when voice actors started to become, it's when celebrities, like really genuinely famous, because a lot of celebrities came on The Simpsons too. That was a big deal. We have this celebrity, you know, we have Johnny Cash voicing a coyote in the episode where Homer Simpson loses his, eats some weird chili and goes on a weird trippy bender, like stuff like that. And I think when celebrities started doing more Disney movies, you know, you had all the other actors coming there too. And I think that is when the change really started. And even like in video games, you know, the big celebrities in video games are, you know, like Nolan North and Troy Baker and Gray Delisle and Tara Strong and Ashley Johnson. And even in anime, you know, they use the same people like Stephen Blum, Laura Bailey, Travis Willingham, Liam O'Brien, Matthew Mercer, you know, and stuff like that. They use a lot of the same people. And yeah, now they've kind of, and I think in the age of like social media, YouTube, stuff like that, where a lot of these actors have their own YouTube channels. You know, the voice of Darth Maul. I was just watching Sam Witwer's. He has a channel where he streams, you know, a bunch of video games. He just streams like Star Wars games and stuff. So you can get your name out there. I think with social media, you can actually get your name out there more, and more people will, you know, recognize you, and they're like, oh my gosh, you did that? That's so cool. It's like that opportunity is more open than, you know, before all that. Yeah, it was just like one screen in alphabetical order. And, you know, I remember in Darkwing Duck, you know, I had to like pause and freeze frame like the credits, and Jim's name is like, God, third or fourth from the bottom. So it's just crazy.
If you could go back in time and give your teenage self advice, what would it be?
Don't take yourself too seriously. You know, when you're a teen, and even in like my 20s and stuff, you always want to be like looked at and respected as like a serious individual. and stuff. And, you know, I got to take these dramatic parts, and I can be a tear jerker, and I can, you know, I can jerk the, you know, the tears, and I can do serious dramatic roles and stuff. I need to be taken seriously. I found much more success when I stopped taking myself so seriously. And I just learned to embrace my weird, goofy self, and, you know, just embrace the weird and uniqueness of myself. And that would definitely be the big advice. And I just say to myself, dude, buck up and stop taking yourself so seriously.
That's some good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Jonathan, for talking to me today. It's been a pleasure, really. Next week, join us when Sophie interviews Mary Callahan, a professional dancer who performed for the national tour of Bullets Over Broadway, on television's The Marvelous Miss Maisel, in music videos, and for New York Fashion Week. Youth Theater Podcast is made possible through your support. Go to anchor.fm/youththeater to become a supporter today. For the Youth Theater Podcast, this is Theo Gardner. We'll see you in the next one. Theo, signing off.